This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where you've got me, Kevin Hagelund. Mike is not sitting here. Corey is not sitting here. But we are at Men's Tee in Frisco. And here comes Mike. Corey surely soon to follow off of El Dorado. If you want to come visit with us today. And by the way, you have plenty of time today, although we would love to see you during our show, as the G-Bag Nation will be doing their show out here as well. And we'll be out here in Frisco all day long.
It was like, Corey, it was like we're Dallas Cowboys getting prepared for the third quarter. We forgot it started.
That's fine.
At least, you know, we thought you might have false started when we came back in here and you're already talking like the radio show had started.
I didn't know where to line up. I didn't know who to cover. Sorry.
Yeah, we were like Tolbert and CeeDee Lamb on fourth down in a critical play.
We didn't know what was going on. We don't know our route.
Should we both jog to the corner without looking for the ball? Like,
well,
I'll just get behind you and trail you, Corey. Is you jog into a non-route, and I'll do the same jog non-route.
Alec, he said, here we go. And I go, well, guess what, Alec? I'm the only one here. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And CeeDee Lamb was like, thumbs up. So
just throw up my direction. Who knows if I'll be in the right spot?
There's a whole lot, I guess, to break down from that game. But I actually want to talk about the Jerry Jones interview first.
Today.
I'm not going to play the audio. I heard it. I know what happens. We'll probably play some of the audio later. I don't think we have the clips ready just yet. But there's a variety of things that he said that I was like, come on, man. Like, what are we even doing? And the first thing is, we talked about this, I want to say like 2 weeks ago. How much of the season's failure will get blamed on injury? And you heard it from Jerry Jones. He's like, I think when you saw in the third quarter, you know, like just really the injuries took a toll. Okay, I guess if you just look at it from yesterday's game's perspective. But guess what? There's only one team that hasn't scored a touchdown to start the third quarter all year. That's the Cowboys. That didn't just happen this week. Like, it was happening when you had Dak. It was happening when you had, because I know the defense impacts the offense, Tank and Micah. And, like, I know Deron Bland's been out. But you've seen everybody else at some point or another, and the whole team works together. It's not just yesterday that is an issue. It's the whole season. And when he goes, well, injuries are part of football, but, man, if we had a lot. And then they ask, hey, does that impact how you judge McCarthy? Yeah, I think it does. No. Why? You didn't just get all these people hurt.
Can I be honest with you? I had to turn off the station because there's still a part of my heart, right? I'm like the Grinch. There's still a part of my heart that cares about the Cowboys because I cared about them so much for most of my life that I had to turn them off. Why? Because you're emotional right now and you're mad at Jerry. And I started feeling that same way, listening to his scripted answer. And so I was like, I have to turn this off. I cannot go down this path. I do not want to go down this path of being a Cowboys fan again. This is a repeated thing that will happen over and over and over and over again the rest of my life. And I don't want to be a part of it, but yet I could tell there was still part of my heart that's into the Cowboys. And I was like, I got to eliminate this. I know this sounds bad, but I just like, I have to eliminate this from my life. And listening to Jerry this morning, that Cowboys fuming anger that you have today, that Corey, you might have today, I was like, I am not going to have that in my life. I cannot listen to him talk right now.
Mike, I'm not there. I think I'm beyond it now because you have a backup quarterback, a backup running back, and a coach that's on his way out. This team absolutely is, and I don't usually say this, but it is what it is. It is not a good team, and for the rest of the season, I don't really have many expectations for them. I do, however, hope that there can be a lot of other things fixed in the offseason. But guys, I think I've watched this team build off seasons before. Now, I've seen them build a good team, but I've also seen them not care about building a team at all in the off season, and that's what we got this year. When it comes to injuries, Kevin, there is a reality to that, and that's. But and I don't think he multiple times like that's not the excuse. Every other team has it. We have it. Every team has it. You got to overcome, right?
Kind of
defensive side of the ball. I would say yes. Tank, Bland, Nealon. Significant injuries to this team. On the offensive side of the ball, where you've been unproductive this season, Brandon Cooks is the only thing that's been missing?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out what offensively has been the problem that you couldn't run the football.
And if people are like, Dak, well, I mean, I get it now, but he hasn't been out the entire season.
Exactly, yeah.
If he was, then I'd be like, well.
Before that, it was maybe a Jake Ferguson, one guy missing from your offense, and Schoonmaker. If that's the case, then Schoonmaker shouldn't have been a second-round pick. I mean, like that. So that's where if you're looking at the injury part of it, yeah, those things have happened to you this year. And I do know, that third quarter when you're looking at Zach Martin and Tyler Smith walking off the field,
terrible.
That's a sad moment right there. But that, Kevin, that's just an addition to a poor season. And guys out there, I think Zach Martin is giving everything that he has out there for you. He absolutely is. He's got parts of his body that might be falling apart right now on him, but he's trying to take in whatever's left. Tony Romo used to say that when he had his rib injury and he was sitting there just in pain. I would watch him just kind of, waddle into the room and sit down in front of the media, and he said the line of, we only have a few of these a year and a few of these in our lifetime that we get to play. Mike knows this feeling. You're going to go out there and give everything you have. But that team right now, Kevin, they're not collectively good. And that's the reality. And that's where Jerry has to say it starts with him, and then it trickles down from everything else from there.
So let's talk more about things that he said this morning that I was like, I just don't understand what you're saying then. One of them was, I think it was Bobby, who asked the question, and I thought there were some really good questions this morning, of did you misevaluate Trey Lance? And Jerry, like, really quickly was like, no. We knew that he hadn't played a lot of football when he came here from San Francisco. But, we absolutely. And you've seen him improve leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. But if Dak wasn't hurt, he'd still be the third-string quarterback, and you wouldn't get him any playing time, even though both Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones agree that the one thing that Trey Lance needs is playing time. Then again, I also have questions about why you would trade for Trey Lance when you decided to go ahead and lock Dak into a long-term contract. So you gave up your fourth-round pick, and you didn't need a starting running back, but you were like, well, we really need is a third string quarterback, but they didn't misevaluate.
The reality on the evaluation part, I'll get to that in a second. The reality, Kevin, is they wanted him to be so good in practices
straight away.
They weren't going to be able to see him that they could pressure Dak to say, we don't need you. Then they found out very quickly in the preseason, he's not ready. Why? Because we haven't worked with him enough. He never got any reps. He never got to play. He sat on our bench. So we can't pressure Dak at all. Plus, they have all the leverage anyway. On the misevaluation part of it, I just think they haven't developed him. Like they could have evaluated him a certain way and said, we can grow him, but they never even attempted to develop him.
So here is, I guess, a question for the Trey Lance situation. I get he didn't play last night. It doesn't really bug me that he didn't play last night because there's so many worthless games to play this year.
I'm fine with that.
I'm just assuming you're going to lose by 20 to 40 points in Washington on Sunday. And then you're going to have a very competitive game on Thanksgiving, which you only have one practice to get ready for.
6-3.
By the way, tomorrow, that game's going to be great. We'll be giving away tickets to that Thanksgiving.
Let's go. I'm excited.
Is after that, can't you just play Trey Lance the rest of the season and go, look, we know Cooper Rush is a solid backup quarterback. We're horrible. You don't have to say it in my words here, but sure. You can be like, Trey Lance is starting the rest of the season. We're going to give him literally, I guess, would that be 4 or 5? We're going to start him 4 or 5 NFL games. Maybe he'll get better as the season progresses. Maybe he'll get worse.
Yeah. Is the idea then that
he could be your backup?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Is that if you're looking at Cooper Rush, you already know who Cooper Rush is. Cooper Rush gets to play the next 2 starts. Probably not going to be his fault. Part of it will, but you're probably going to lose by a lot to Washington. You will probably have a very miserable competitive game on Thursday on Thanksgiving. I don't know who's going to win that game. And then I think you can, at that point, just say, all right, Trey Lance is now going to get most of the reps in practice, and we're going to let Trey Lance start the rest of the season.
I guess that's fine.
Would that satisfy you?
I have a question about this.
No, just because, like, you took that draft pick in something that you really needed. Because we're talking about, like, Rico Dowdle could be your backup running back, I guess.
For sure.
And then we all knew Zeke couldn't do it. So the spot you were going to target running back, they were like, nah, we got it. And so there are so many things that torpedoed this season. Like, I get that. But yeah. This was a pretty big one to say, we don't need a starting running back.
On the Trey Lance front, has he earned anybody else in the NFL's respect to get a contract out of backup realm for the Cowboys?
I can't imagine.
I think because of his draft pick status,
he'd get a shot.
Yeah, I think 5 to 10 teams would say, come on in as our 3rd or 4th quarterback. See if you can, you're competing with our 7th round pick, or you're competing to be our 3rd quarterback. I think that's his life. The rest of his life right now, as of today, is you get to compete to be a 3rd-string quarterback in the NFL until you prove you're not a 3rd-string quarterback. That could change. I don't think it will, but that could change if he gets 4 starts at the end of the year and he looks like he has potential to...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be a solid backup. Now I think teams could go, hey, not that we're guaranteeing this, but maybe he's competing with our backup to be the backup. And worst case scenario, he's 3rd string.
The reality is for the future here, Dak, unless you replace his leg with like a centaur body, like his lower half is going to be screwed for a while.
Yeah.
And he's not going to give himself an offseason to really recover because that's not in his in his thing. He thinks work is going to be the thing. When his body needs to recover, you're going to have to rely on whoever your backup is over the next 3 years during
and
the
contract. Whether TMZ's there or not, he's going to be wearing a boot at times because his ankle's deteriorated and it is not very good right now. It's closer to a 40 or 50 year old man's ankle than it is a 30-year-old man's ankle. And so I do think, to Corey's point, is the backup quarterback becomes very vital because I do think you're dealing with a very fragile lower half quarterback for the next 4 years.
And there was the other thing that he said that has me concerned about all this talk about how you regroup and whatnot. He made sure to point out that in the last 25 years, the Dallas Cowboys have the 6th best winning percentage in the NFL. And in the last 15 years, the Dallas Cowboys have the 5th best winning percentage in the NFL. I believe that every single team ahead of them in both of those windows, maybe with the exception of the San Francisco 49ers, has also won the Super Bowl. And at least the 49ers can be like, we've been to the Super Bowl multiple times.
We just keep losing to the Chiefs.
And so when he keeps saying, hey, we're around the rim, I know we haven't made the championship game. No, you haven't even made the conference championship game. So it's that thing that annoys me and makes me wonder about like building this team back up again. Because Stevens told that numerous times. I don't know how many teams won 36 games in the last 3 years. And now Jerry's like, sixth best winning percentage in the last 25 years, fifth best winning percentage in the last 15 years. My biggest concern, and I think about this a lot, and I'm sure a lot of Cowboys fans do too, they don't think it's a problem. They think it's a problem when they're 3-7. But if they were 6-4, destined to get wiped out in the wild card round, they're like, ha ha, what's the big deal?
It's like me trying to build a swimming pool in my backyard. I have no clue what I'm doing.
Right.
I dug the hole, guys.
That's
the hole's
true.
Dug out
yeah.
there. I mean,
this is the best hole you've ever
yeah,
seen.
Look yeah, look how that hole is.
I hired Albert.
Yeah, exactly. Every once in a while, I would ask somebody to come help, and they'd do a little bit. There's a hole back there. And we could all, I don't know why we can't swim in it. I don't know why the water's all green. What happened?
But it wasn't your fault.
I didn't.
You did the best.
I didn't do the best to put all the rest of it in. I said, hey, this is good enough. I don't really know exactly how to make it great, though. That's exactly where the Cowboys are, is they keep going, I don't know, this should be good enough to get us there.
Yeah.
Not what's going to be something that you build a culture and a legacy within the franchise that lasts for a long time because players want to come in here and be great.
So I'll say this, and I know we're out of time here, is Jerry Jones thinks we're all morons. Okay, he thinks you're a moron, I'm a moron, we didn't play football, yeah. we didn't do any of this, so we are complete and total morons that are lucky enough that there's jobs like this to have, that we can talk football, that we're all morons, you're a moron listening, unless you played NFL football. What does he say to Marcus Spears?
Troy Aikman.
And Troy Aikman, when Marcus Spears last night said, the Jones family does not run the organization in a championship manner. If you look at the way other organizations that are championship organizations are competing for championships on a consistent basis, they don't run their franchise anywhere close to those franchises. And that's a major issue. Now, I'm just repeating what Marcus Spears said. I'm a moron. I only stupidly played baseball and wasn't brave and strong and fast enough to play football. But fine, Jerry, I'm a moron. What do you say to Troy Aikman? That is like, look at these moronic routes that these two morons are running right now on fourth down.
That's, or Michael Irvin.
Yeah,
or, yeah.
Like, and then you have Marcus Spears saying, this is a poorly run franchise. I love them. I played for them. I got a lot of money from them. I want them to be good. I have to act like, I don't know if Marcus Spears is a true Dallas Cowboy fan or not. Like, I'm not knocking him at all.
Yeah, no, I
love him. But, you know, he does play that role on ESPN at times. But he is calling out, Jerry doesn't run this thing properly. Not me, not the moron baseball player, not you two morons who
sure.
love football and love the Cowboys and watch plenty of football.
Yeah, I got 30 years experience watching football.
Yeah, but
I know when I see
don't know.
Something crap.
What does Jerry say to the morons who played in his organization that are critical of him?
I think about this all the time. And it's not like I used to feel this way about Cuban to a certain extent with some of the things that he would say is, if you think every single person around you is just not smart enough to get what you're doing, maybe it's not all of those people who don't get it, you know? Like, maybe we got a pretty decent idea. I would put Corey in charge of the Cowboys tomorrow.
Let's go.
Ahead of Jerry Jones. I'm sorry, Corey, I don't have the power to do that.
Oh.
But if I could.
I was really excited for a second. I was like, this is going to be fun.
I mean, if I could,
firing
we can ask
everybody.
Jerry on Friday. He's made threats to fire people here. Maybe we can figure out a way to make it go the other way.
I'm hiring Mike to be my reality voice in the locker room. He's going to just walk in and tell him the truth. You
the
know,
thing because... is I feel like I'm smart enough to know I'm not smart enough.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's Jerry's problem, is he is the smartest person in everything.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Whew, could be a fiery show today right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Men's Tea Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. If you want to come see us, I do believe they might have their own ticket giveaways going on today.
Oh,
if you
really?
Want to stop on by. Coming up next, we can talk some more about the Cowboys, obviously, but also puck around and find out. The Stars drop a tough one, but this player continues to be a bright spot. Next on The Fan.
And on first and 10 from the 50, here's a handoff to Mixon up the middle, cuts left, he's to the 20, he's to the 10. Mixon will take this one to the house, and Houston, without hardly breaking a sweat, has taken the lead. 45 yards for Joe Mixon.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live here at Men's Tea Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. We would love for you to come out and see us today. G-Bag Nation is going to be out here as well. We got a lot to talk about on that front, but I wanted to talk about that play and honestly the first play of the game. You're Troy Aikman and Joe Buck talking about, hey, Nico Collins is back. You think he'll go for another 75-yarder?
And then he does.
And then he did. It felt like they knew it. Everybody knew the ball was going to go to Nico Collins except for the Cowboys. Now, luckily, there was a penalty that, you know, didn't really impact the play. But Laremy Tunsil, he was like, crap. He's the camera shot of Collins running while Tunsil's just like got his head down because he knows that flag's on me was amazing. But I was like, well, that's not a great start, but maybe we caught a break. And then Joe Mixon breaks off like a 45-yard run or whatever it was. And you're like, this is going to be a really long day. But the first half wasn't bad.
Yep.
You were still in the game. It clearly fell apart in the second half. But that's a bad sign. Everybody knows Nico Collins is getting the ball except for the defense.
Yeah.
And obviously the Joe Mixon run.
I think the defense even knew it, but they just weren't able to do anything about it.
And that's even worse.
Was it the moment that Joe Mixon, I think it was Joe Mixon, had his second touchdown, and you see the shot of D'Amico Ryans, and he's saying, give me more. Give me more.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep running it against these guys because
they
can't stop us.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
You know,
do
somebody just
it?
Pointed out that Diggs was the leading tackler last night, and
he doesn't want
to tackle. He hates tackling.
That was
it started off in a way that you thought, oh, no, it's just going to be depressing all night. But like you said, the rest of the game for the first half, you were like, how the crap do we even have a shot at winning this one right now? How are we in it?
I will say on that Mixon touchdown, I'm glad they gave us multiple angles of where Trayvon Diggs was. Because when I watched it in real time, I was like, just dive. Maybe we got a shot. And then when they showed an alternate angle, like from the field view, I go, oh, you'd had to be Wemby plus.
Yeah, and Byron Jones-like.
Yeah, and then maybe you would have had a shot. So, yeah, no shade at him on that play. I'm glad they showed the other angle because I was like, oh, so that play was never going to work out for us. Cowboys lose. Five straight losses? Four straight losses?
140.
It's six straight home losses.
Was Pittsburgh the last win?
Golly.
Isn't that right?
What a sad, sad season that this has been.
You lost to the Lions, the Niners, the Falcons, the Eagles, and now the Texans. That is five straight losses after destroying by 3 points the Steelers on the road.
Let's be honest, last night, Troy Aikman even pointed this out. C.J. Stroud didn't even play that well.
No.
So the yes, C.J. Stroud, rookie of the year. C.J. Stroud, 7-4 this year. C.J. Stroud not having a great second year. He's not having a bad second year. But he hasn't maybe progressed the way that people thought he would progress in year number two. And last night, he was average NFL starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't tearing you up. He was missing passes. He was not hitting guys in stride. Like, gosh, if you get a quarterback who's hot in any of these games.
And you will. You're going to run into one. I mean, even I know Joe Burrow hasn't won a lot of games this year, but he's going to put up stats that make us look ridiculous. Last night, y'all are right. The Cowboys, the Texans didn't look like a superior team. They should look like a juggernaut to this Cowboys team, but they looked like they were undisciplined. They looked like they had moments where they didn't pay attention to detail. In the red zone, they shot themselves in the foot multiple times.
Yeah.
And Pendergast told us yesterday, he was like, look, this team does play down to its opponent very often. It's that kind of a team.
And that first play that would have been a touchdown got called back, and the Cowboys had a clear backwards pass that should have been a fumble, but the officials were like, ah, you're
don't
fine.
Worry about it.
At least he did, Rico, did recover it.
Okay, that's true.
So,
and you still
but it
lost.
Would have been like a negative 7-yard play.
You still lost at home by 24 points. And it's not like C.J. Stroud is the best. We walked away from this game being like, eh, they're all right.
And they gave you a free 15 yards one time where they smoked whatever the Michigan tight end is, and they didn't do anything wrong.
Good gosh. Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. He looked like he died on that. And then when they showed the replay, I thought for sure we'd see helmet.
It was just off the shoulder.
It's a normal hit, but here's a free 15-yard, Dallas, and it still didn't help them out.
I appreciated that, though. They tried.
The fake punt attempt.
You don't have to laugh like that.
Jerry this morning said, you know, and he's right about that.
Yeah.
Why did you do that is what Jerry probably asked Bones. And Bones said, we have to get some kind of life.
Yeah.
And then you do that, and it deflates everything. What I actually thought was it reminded the players, crap, our coaches are desperate. We have nothing else. So for about a quarter, I thought I saw the best defense I'd seen in a while from them, because they were like, it's all on us now. But then I realized that all on them is just a poor thing. I kept tracking the rushing numbers throughout the game, Kevin. After the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, 67-21. 67 yards for Houston, 21.
Hey, Lamb had, take out that touchdown.
Okay.
We would be close.
CeeDee Lamb had 13 yards of that. 21, and CeeDee Lamb had 13 yards. It was 8 first downs to 3. And then in the second quarter, 80-33. The Cowboys, other than CeeDee Lamb, only gained 20 rushing yards in the first half. And I think that Dowdle at the end of that game was at 28 yards, 2.8 yards per carry.
I mean, Troy Aikman dunked on him. He goes, was he averaging like 1 yard a carry?
Yeah, it was very, like, again, except for CeeDee Lamb, it was 20 yards in the first half. The running game is non-existent, and you already have a backup quarterback. You have to protect him in some way and be able to run the football.
Do we, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, do you put any blame on Brian Anger for not seeing that the guy he was going to throw it to, his defender, didn't bite on the
punt? He's a punter. No,
I don't know what he's supposed to do at that point.
Yeah, he's supposed to get rid of the ball.
Kick it.
So you, like, fake pass it and then just...
You watch. I think the idea was you watch the guy when you're taking the snap, and you have the option to still kick the ball if you want. At least that's the way I understood it.
Okay, but hold on.
I thought it was a great pass, though. He really floated in the air for 7 seconds, so even if the guy wasn't close to him, it was like,
caught him.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, he is a punter. I agree.
I know, but I feel like in practice, like, we can't have the ball, and I'm going to literally say, you can't have the ball hang up in the air for 3 seconds. 3 seconds is a lifetime for these fast athletic guys to just recover, even if they did make a mistake.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, Kevin, is right in a regular world, all right? But in the Cowboys world, when a punter is told to punt, he's like, okay, what are my other options? And the guys are like, I said punt. I said throw the ball. I said, I didn't say punt it if you want to. We said throw. I don't think they prepared him for another option on that. They just said, hey, we got to convert this fourth down. And it was a bad play. And you almost got that. You almost got, was it Wanya Thomas?
Yes.
You almost got him murdered.
Yes, it was.
He almost got murdered on the field in front of all these people. Well, a bunch of Texans fans.
Corey, because of what you just said, do you think a segment tomorrow would work called Regular World,
Cowboys World. Yes.
And we run through, like, what would be a typical thing that a football
world
organization would do.
Look, we got an NC Clinic. We got a Detroit Lions fan coming. Hey, congratulations on your year.
Yeah.
You're doing great, man.
9-1, baby. That's fantastic. That's
hey.
In the meantime.
Okay, that's smart. He's a Dolphins fan.
He's getting his $25 tea test today here at Men's Tea Clinic.
That's available at all 5 Men's Tea Clinic locations today.
You got your complimentary B12 injections today for all patients. Let's go. Let's get up here.
Look, this should
make Kevin and Corey feel better.
This should be the Cowboys Day special. Hey,
I'll tell you what. At this point,
that probably violates some copyright.
I'd say this. Let's cheat. It's not far away from here. Let's bring in all the Cowboys and let's see how many we
just
can get.
Boost them up, man. Let's get them going.
Let's
Kevin,
go.
I will add to the segment for tomorrow. In the regular world, offensive linemen fall on the football and don't try to go
score
a touchdown.
That was the best hit of the year.
They're offensive linemen.
That's the second time in a row.
And the other thing, too, is. That's
scoop and score.
That's the second time that the offensive lineman who didn't block on the play correctly ended up trying to convert it into something that turned into a touchdown. Terrence Steele just did that, where he didn't block the play correctly. It turned into a fumble, and he's like, I got this. I'm going to save the team. And it turns into a touchdown. That's two times
Wait,
now.
Wasn't
that's
it
happened.
Guyton yesterday?
It was Guyton yesterday, and
Steele.
Terrence Steele last week. So,
Steele didn't even pick it up, though, right? He couldn't even
it fell into his hand somehow.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, he tried.
I remember that.
Tried.
There's been multiple ones where we fumble in the offensive line.
Just fall on the
that
ball.
Was,
you don't have to be as joyful about this, Mike.
Well, I just think it's amazing. Like, in a way, you compare it to back in the day when a crappy pitcher came up to hit. And you're like, this is a free strikeout. I need my free strikeout here. Yes, I know I have an automatic out. I want the stat. And as soon as Guyton picked up that ball, I don't know who hit him on the Texans, but it's like, this is a free pancake here. Because he can't move. He's slow, and if I smoke him, the ball's probably going to fall out,
yeah.
Which it did. And then they scooped and scored, and that's when I think I texted y'all goodnight.
Yeah, and Petrie's the size of Tito here. He's not the biggest dude, but he knocked out Guyton just like that to force that fumble.
Man.
And that was bedtime, man. Listen.
I watched the whole thing. I hate myself for it.
It was sometime in the fourth quarter with about 6 minutes left, the last Cowboys possession, and it was like I was like, that's it. That's it. I think they went for it on fourth down, and I was like, I'm done for the
night. Did you see, I bet when...
I missed a touchdown by the Texans.
When they went into the end zone for the defensive touchdown to make it 27-10, I stuck around for a second longer. It was probably, at that point, only 50% full in the lower bowl. When they ran it in, 50% of the crowd... Maybe some had already left, but 50% of the crowd left when they scored that touchdown. And really, it left only Texans fans.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like whenever they panned up, Kevin, I said 60-40 yesterday, and I looked up and I felt like I was seeing 60-40 at the start of the game. And then I saw in the top bowl lots of towels hanging over the chairs. There were as like 2 minutes into the first quarter or something like that, and I was like, "Oh man, that's not good." A lot of people said are making their voice heard to Jerry Jones, and this could be the situation for him. And that's where that will be, as a lot of the Tolos have been telling us, the moment that maybe he'll listen.
Yeah, I hope you're right. No, Corey, my exhaustion is. I hope you're right. And then I hear Jerry with Bobby and RJ this morning, and I'm like, hope in one hand, take a crap in the other, and see which fills up first. You know
just
what I'm saying?
Just put them together and see. Oof. That's the Cowboys, right?
I'm going to tell you what fills up first.
Thanks, Mike.
I think
that's fair. We're the KNC masterpiece.
I've seen turds.
Right here. On 105.3 The Fan, live from Men's Tee. Coming up next, I wish I could say it would get better, but it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Vasek.
This former Ranger just scared me to death on what Nathan Eovaldi is going to get in free agency next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco, where we got that $25 tee test for all patients. Get your baseline and get a plan. You can also get that complimentary Pure B12 injection for all patients. And... what's that? You wanted more? Okay. Complimentary in-body scan weight loss consult for all patients. Make your way out to the North Frisco location off of El Dorado Parkway to see us. But you can hit up any of the Men's Tee today. And now... it's time for Baseball Nuggets.
Yeah, that number is 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE. So if you want to call that right now, I want to hear this phone line ringing. We're here, you know, in the
will
reception area.
The phone?
If you want me to, it could ruin Baseball Nuggets, but you can take it over. If I hear that phone ring,
that's
I'll go over
point.
There and answer it and say, this is Mike Vasek.
I think I know the gist of Baseball Nuggets is we're screwed when it comes to paying Nathan Eovaldi.
So Nick Martinez, former Texas Ranger, current Cincinnati Red, accepts the $21 million qualifying offer to stay with the Reds.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Nick
Martinez, you might think is younger than Nathan Eovaldi. He is by 6 whole months. So
okay.
If you're looking at this going, well, and it's a qualifying offer. The Reds offered it, and he took it. That can happen. If you remember, this happened with Martin Perez, I believe, 2 years ago, after he made the All-Star team. I believe if I'm remembering correctly, Rangers offered him arbitration and he signed the arbitration number. So if I look at this and I look at Nathan Eovaldi and I compare him to Nick Martinez last year, I look at it and I see that 170 innings for Nathan Eovaldi, 142 innings for Nick Martinez. A 3.10 ERA for Nick Martinez, a 3.8 ERA for Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi goes 12-8. Nick Martinez goes 10-7, both on disappointing teams last year. Both teams underperformed, and I'll tell you what, there's a part of me, guys, that wants to pick the Cincinnati Reds as the 2025 World Champions.
Oh, who did they beat in the World Series, Baltimore?
I don't know. But what I'm looking at is Terry Francona. And Terry Francona is very Bruce Bochy-like. And I would have never guessed that the Rangers would have won the World Series in 2023. I thought they're going to be better. I predicted them to win 84 games. They won 90. They won the World Series. Are the Reds probably going to beat the Dodgers and the Mets and the Phillies and all the teams in the National League? Probably not. But nobody expected the Rangers in 2023, one, to make the playoffs, two, then to beat Baltimore and to beat, I guess, Tampa before that, and then to beat the Houston Astros, and they did. And the Reds have talent. They are a talented team that did not – their record didn't live up to the talent they had on the team. And what better person than to get the most out of your talent than a guy like Bruce Bochy and a guy like Terry Francona?
Yeah, yeah.
So I look at Eovaldi's strikeouts, 166 for Nathan Eovaldi, 116. Now, there was a few less innings pitched for Nick Martinez. But I look at this after I give you some of these stats, and I go – I think Nathan Eovaldi, I could be wrong on this, okay, because I'm going to way overdo the projection. I think he might get 2 years and $50 million. I think there's a possibility when I look at the Corbin Burns rumors, which I'll get into in a minute, and how many people are after Corbin Burns, and then Max Fried and Blake Snell. This is a loaded pitcher's market.
Yeah.
There are so many, one, up top, really good pitchers, and then two, really nice middle-of-the-rotation pitchers who have potential. So now, I don't think it's going to get to $50 million on 2 years. I do think it's a two-year deal, maybe a three, but I'm thinking two.
Would you do two for 45 if you're the Rangers?
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat. I think that he means more than just a pitcher to you.
I got you.
Now, the thing that you have to know is this, and I don't know this and will not be told this, and I'm not even going to ask about this. You will need to know when it comes to Dr. Meister and your strength and conditioning coach and your trainers. Hey, we have a little bit of the inside track here. We've had him for 2 years. Do you believe Nathan Eovaldi, like last year, who started 29 games, do you believe he can give us 50 starts over these next 2 years? However you want to divide them up, 30 and 20, 25 and 25. But I need, if I'm going to pay close to $50 million, I need $1 million a start. Can you, and I know this is tough. As a medical staff, you can't promise. Can you promise me that you feel like today he's going to make 50 starts for me? If you're telling me he's going to make 50 starts in the next 2 years.
I don't think I can make that guarantee.
Then what do you do?
Yeah.
Blake Snell's going to cost more money.
Yeah.
Max Fried is going to cost more money. Corbin Burns might get close to 40 a year because he has the perfect scenario. He has the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox all wanting him desperately. And that doesn't include some teams on the outskirts. But when you have the four major teams with the most money all wanting you, this is where you get paid a ton of money.
Especially when at least three of them have $600 million or so set aside for Juan Soto, and two of them are going to lose.
Yeah.
And then they're going to look. Let me ask you this, though. Do you agree with me about that? Like, I tell you right now, I don't think I can guarantee 50 of Aldi starts in the next 2 years. What say you?
I say 50-50 on it.
Okay.
I was surprised. I'll be honest. I was surprised last year Eovaldi made 29 starts, and 170 innings is a lot, especially after what he did pitching the whole month of October. Now, he did have mid-July through early September off. Now, it was because of injury in 2023, so he didn't rack up. I think I have his stats pulled up here. In 2023, he threw 144 innings. In 2022, he threw 109 innings. So in that 2022 season where you got him, I don't want to say cheaply, but you got him for like a two-year $36 million deal, he made 20 starts that year for the Boston Red Sox. So then the year before, 2023, he made 25 starts. Last year, he made 29 starts. So if I add his 2 years up for the Rangers, it's 54 starts plus playoffs.
Yep.
And I wouldn't know. And I think that's the risk that Chris Young is going to want to take. Now, there are extras with Nathan Eovaldi, because let me throw this back at you. We've talked about this guy, and it's also because of the playoffs. I would have never talked about him if the Dodgers would have been eliminated by the San Diego Padres when they were down 2-1 in that divisional series. is would you rather give Nathan Eovaldi, let's say, 2 years and $45 million, because I do think that's probably going to be very close to the number.
Yeah.
Or would you rather give, and I don't know if he would accept this, would you rather give Walker Buehler 3 years and $50 million and take the chance on that he is younger, he has maybe what you could consider more potential, but he also has more of a bust factor in him too.
I'm kind of on the Walker Buehler.
I think I am too, man.
The youth gives me a little more room to work with, and I screwed up so much trying to know what this team was this year. I don't know if I can go into it saying that this year is a win it or else year for me. This might be I got a couple year window to work with again.
And I feel bad saying that because I feel like I am kind of discounting your Nathan Eovaldi means more than just a pitcher to this team. I don't disagree with that at all. I think you're dead up right about that. But I think about the flashes we've seen from Walker Buehler, and you're right about the bust potential. I think he's still got it.
The boom potential is fantastic as well. And Eovaldi, I mean, quite honestly, Mike, as much as you're right. The things he does with the rookies, the person he is in the clubhouse.
If you make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's it. When you make the playoffs, that's when I want him the most. So maybe I can trade for him later down the road.
And by the way, he's the 17th rated free agent on the market on MLB Trade
Rumors.
Where's
Eovaldi on? Buehler? Sorry.
I'd have to scroll down
So lower.
Eovaldi is projected at 2 years and $44 million.
And you do that straight
I would
away.
Do that in a heartbeat. They have four different teams. There are four experts here that say pick which team you think he's going to sign with. You have Yankees, Orioles, Giants, Rangers.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm thinking he might get closer to $50 million, and so now I have to make this decision and choice. If I do lose him, let's just say he chooses another team. You tried, but he chooses another team. Or you feel like health-wise, you just don't want to commit approximately $25 million to Nathan Eovaldi. I don't know how much Walker Buehler is going to cost. I'll keep scrolling down as we're talking just to see.
I mean, the lower he is in the list, the better you probably feel about the price, right?
I know, but I'm wondering, where was he on this list? Do you just come out with this list and you don't include too much of the playoffs, or you totally include playoffs? You could bring Andrew Heaney back, it's saying here, for approximately 2 years, $24 million. So you could have this decision, and I know that it would cost you more. Would you rather bring back Andrew Heaney and then go after Walker Buehler for the high risk, high reward?
We can't score runs for Andrew Heaney. That's a fact. So I don't know.
But if that's the combination I get, I'm taking it.
And I
do
think if Andrew Heaney were to come back here, I do think you use him as kind of a sixth starter.
A pretty significant, he has a nice role in that clubhouse too, where he really cares about those guys and they care about him. He's the Creed guy. Like, put all that on him. For whatever reason, he was like, we got to figure something out, and it changed.
They have 1 year, $15 million on Walker Buehler.
I do that.
He is number 37 on the free agent list. I think he's – now, this is Walker Buehler would be betting on himself. I don't know who his agent is, sorry. But that would be betting on yourself that you're going to show in this upcoming season that you can put up an ERA in the mid-threes or lower. You can have a strikeout per inning. You can pitch 140 innings in a season or more. And if he does that, then he might go to like a four-year, $100 million deal. So does he want to – this is the risk you take. Do I go 1 year, $15 million, which I could see him doing, and then going because I'm betting on myself to get a four-year, $100 million deal after this 1 year. And in that case, I would think – I don't know this, but I would want to pitch on a good team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like if I'm just trying to think of an up-and-coming team that might want me, I might go, can I take the risk on this team that didn't play well in the last couple years? Like, I wouldn't want to pitch in Cincinnati, to be honest. I would avoid Cincinnati the way people avoided the ballpark in Arlington. Because I'd be like, my ERA is not going to be good there. I might end up winning 12 or 13 games, but that is a bandbox, and the ball flies out of that park.
Detroit, Seattle?
Well, that would be pitching going, hey, I like these parks.
Mm-hmm. Detroit's kind of an up-and-coming team, too.
Yeah, and Detroit made the playoffs. I'm not saying it's going to be interesting. The Nathan Eovaldi, based off of this Nick Martinez taking the accepted number and at $21 million, makes me think that Eovaldi might get closer to $25 million on a two-year deal. I think a three-year deal, I don't know the Rangers' philosophy on this. They might be out on that.
Yeah.
At his age and where you're at, financially. And I'm just like, I want to keep Evaldi. I love the dude. He is such a team leader. He's guys that you really miss, not only in your rotation, but you miss him in the clubhouse the day he leaves your organization. And so I just wonder, how much money is that to you as a team going, I'm going to lose a guy that is a guy that people rally around as a teammate?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live at Men's Tea Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. If you want to come out and see us, coming up next, we'll talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So share your heartbreaks and triumphs with us next on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.